The book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 8 through 13. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house. Thank you, Father, you've given us a place to come to worship. And thank you, Father, for the specials. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. I pray, Lord, that you'd use it all for your honor and glory and to draw us closer to Christ. And Father, the word of God is open now, and we want to hear from heaven. We want to hear the truths from your word. We want to be guided by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we do want to, Lord, have convictions in our life. And Father, we want to be directed by you. We want to hear your voice loud and clear, Lord, as you guide us in our life, as even your word says that you have that soft, still voice that tells us from behind, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Lord, it's not a voice that's going to fight for dominance in our life. It's not a voice that's going to fight to be heard, but it's a still, soft voice that we have to sit still and listen to. And Father, we have to have the desire to hear that voice as you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, this morning, Father, that you would have your way with us. As always, Lord, bless the children in Junior Church. Continue to work in their hearts as you continue to work in our hearts as well. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about, as we talked about last week, just having a purposeful life. And we do have a life that has meaning and has purpose because God has given us the life that he's given us. Whether we have experienced good things or bad things throughout our life, it's still a life that God wants to use in a very great way. But sometimes people do wonder, you know, what is my purpose of being here? And we kind of looked at that last week, living with a purpose or living a purposeful life. And there are general purposes for all of us. We've all been created to worship God. We've all been created to glorify God in our life and to enjoy God. I mean, there are many things to enjoy as we walk with God, as we allow God to work in our life. And again, as I read in these verses this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, I just wanted to read these verses because this message is for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but it's also for those who haven't, who are looking for the meaning of life and for the purpose of their life. And no doubt, God has allowed every single person to be born into this world to come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, to come to know that they've been born, to come to know Christ as their Savior, to come to know the truth that their sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. They can have assurance of a place in heaven because Jesus Christ has paid that way for every single person that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not about receiving Christ, it's about believing on Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall be saved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But today I want to talk to us about just convictions, a purpose life with convictions as a child of God. I mean, we looked again at last week that we should be glorifying God and praising God with our life, and we should be walking with the Lord each and every day. But you know, as a child of God, we should be growing in our faith, and there should be some convictions in our life that helps us to live the purposeful life that God's given us. Because, again, without convictions in our life, we will continue to stray from the truth of God's word. We will continue to flounder in our faith. But as we read God's word and we allow God's word to sink down into our hearts and to convict our hearts, we will have and should develop convictions that will help us to live a purposeful life. And there are many convictions that the word of God will bring into a life, but there's three I want to look at this morning. And the first one, that again, we are living in a world that is anti-Christ and anti-God and anti-Bible, a world that promotes, a society that promotes evolution, promotes selfness, if that's a word, promotes self, a world that does not promote Jesus Christ or the creator of this world. And many Christians have floundered on the truth of who God is because of the teachings that have been indoctrinated in public school, in colleges, and many Christians, many good young Christian believers have really lost their faith in God because of what they've been taught and what they have heard. And the first conviction that you and I must stand upon as God's people, having put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is that God is alive and active in this world as well as our life. The first conviction that you and I should remain standing upon is the fact that we serve a living God. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I know that you know this. You're like, well, Pastor, I know that God's living. But listen, as long as you allow yourself to be on social media, allow yourself to watch the news, allow yourself to listen to certain music, you are in danger of losing your faith in God. You're in danger because there's not a single one of us who is a super Christian who does not need to continue feeding themselves the truth of God's word and trusting and believing the truth of God's word. Because again, we live in a world. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not on social media. I don't watch the news. Well, you're around people who promote the lies. You're around, you know, billboards and all kinds. I mean, the devil just wants to keep the blind blinded. And he wants to steal the faith of those who have Jesus Christ. He can't steal your salvation. But man, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your faith. He wants you to think that, you know what? God was alive in the Old Testament, but he's not alive today. And we know that's just not true. It's a lie of the devil. God is just as real and alive today as he was back here in 1 Kings chapter 17. Look at verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And before I read this, let me just say this from the beginning. We have to keep saying that Jesus is alive. As God's people, we still have to keep believing it and keep saying that. No, I serve a living God. I serve a God who is very active in my life and very active in this world. And the Bible tells me so, God's word. But even my own experience of God working in my life tells me I serve a God who is alive and active in this world. 1 Kings chapter 17, look at verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Just in Elijah's life, we see God is alive and active. God tells Elijah what to do. Elijah testifies that in verse number 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. Do you still believe that you stand before a living God who sees you, knows you, talks to you, guides you, and directs you? Because as Elijah says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. And then he goes on, and the word of the Lord came, God speaking to Elijah, saying, get thee hence. God taking care of Elijah, telling Elijah where to go. I want you to go to a certain place because I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. When we just see God alive and active in Elijah, in Elijah's life, and again, someone may have the notion and believe the lie, well, yeah, God was alive then, and God spoke to his people then, and God was active in their life then, but I just don't see God alive and active in my day. I don't see God intervening in different situations in our country. I just kind of see people doing their own thing and getting away with evil. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Because the skeptics and the non-believers will question whether or not there is a true living God. And many times they're looking at your life to even see any evidence of a true living God. In Revelation chapter 3, and again, our life is all about, should be all about Jesus Christ. Should be all about promoting a true living God in our life. Even if there are some Christians who have lost hope and have walked away from the faith, should never be a deciding factor in our life whether or not we're going to keep believing or not believing. Again, you will, until the day you and I take our last breath, this world will work as hard as it can to steal the faith, to steal the joy that we have in Christ. And the world is working hard on the young people to keep them from even start believing and trusting in a true living God. And we as God's people have to promote it among ourselves. Yes, to the lost, but the sad thing is, you go back to the life of Joshua, and Joshua led God's people into the promised land, but at the end of Joshua's leadership, the Bible sadly says the next generation knew not the works of God, didn't even know if there was a living God, basically. Yet they were led through the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, yet another generation rises up. Why? It must not have been promoted in the home. It must not have been lived out. It must not have been shown evident to the next generation that we do serve a true living God. Now listen, all the responsibility is not on you or on me for someone to believe. But our responsibility is to show the world that there is a true living God that they can believe in and follow. Now in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus Christ speaking says, behold. Now if Jesus is speaking, whom they crucified and laid in a grave, we know that he's alive because the Bible testifies that 3 days later the stone was rolled away so the world could see that he was no longer in there. And then for the next 40 days, above 500 witnesses spent time with the risen Savior. And John the Beloved, John the Revelator, being boiled in oil for his faith and surviving that, being put on the Isle of Patmos, being exiled to this island, on the Lord's day, as he's in the Spirit, as he is spending time with God and worshiping God, Jesus Christ reveals a number of things to him, brings him up to heaven, shows him great things, lets him hear things, and he's writing all this stuff down from a living God who speaks and sees and has a purpose for your life and a purpose for what's going on in this world. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. We know that Jesus Christ stands at the door of the heart of every person and knocks at that door, wanting them to open that door and believe on Jesus Christ. And once you've done that, there are things in our life that he wants us to be convicted of. Because listen, if we're in, and I know sometimes pastors say, I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I know I'm not. There are some that know the truth, believe the truth, but there's some that don't. There's some that struggle, whether in this room or via live stream. If we don't have this number one conviction of believing that we are serving a true living God who sees me, knows me, has a purpose for my life, wants to use me, then guess what? The rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of that life will flounder. The rest of that life will struggle. The rest of that life will have the doubts that will overwhelm them and control their life. And we're all in danger of it. Though you may not be struggling with it now, you may be with confidence, I know that God's alive, yet the devil wants to steal that away from somebody you know and love. That's why Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand. We serve a risen Savior who got the victory for us at Calvary. Sins being paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He got the victory for us through the empty tomb that he borrowed for 3 days, that you and I, we can have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. But when you look at John chapter 14, if you would, John chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14. Again, just having the conviction, the strong conviction that God is alive and active, not just in the world, but in my life only. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Twice Jesus says, I will do it if you ask in my name. Well, obviously, I mean, I'm not going to ask a dead person to do anything because I know they can't. But we know that Jesus Christ is alive, and we need to stand upon that conviction that we do serve a risen Savior, and that he's told me that anything I need, if I will ask in his name, believing. Again, why would Jesus say, if you ask it in my name? Because you have to believe that Jesus can and will do what's needed. You have to believe that he is alive and that he has all power. And again, don't shut me off. Don't shut off the message because you already believe that God is alive. Listen, it will play out in our life if we truly believe that, because how often do we take our requests to him? Small or great? Simple or the greatest? Or the most trivial in our life of circumstances? It matters because God cares so much that Jesus would say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He doesn't say, I'll have somebody else do it. I'll have an angel come. He says, I will do it. And yes, he uses people, but we acknowledge that God uses people because God is alive and active in the lives of his people, and he wants us to stand upon this conviction that the one that we have put our faith and trust in for salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is the same one that I am convicted without a shadow of doubt, answers all my prayers, supplies all my need, and in the time of trouble, he's the nearest to me because he's always by my side. Again, those that want to continue almost 24 hours a day in social media, they will start to believe the lies that there is no help. Again, there's anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-God propaganda everywhere in this world. But the only way that you and I are going to stand upon the conviction that we do serve a living God that is alive in the 21st century is to stay close to him, is to stay in his word, is to keep listening to his voice and stop allowing the world and the ways of the world to dictate what we believe and don't believe. I still believe that God's in control, even though there may be somebody in a governmental office position that we disagree with that is anti-God. God's still in control. You understand, no man can do anything without God allowing it. Even if you know your Bible and read your Bible, Even the devil cannot do anything he wants without God allowing it. Now he's the God of this world. All right. He's in control of some lives. But listen, even the devil had to ask permission to do something in Job's life. God had to give that permission. God had to say, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. Because the devil knows that he's limited in what he can do in your life. And he even told God, you have a hedge of protection around Job. That's a wonderful thing for you to know, that God has a hedge of protection around you and your enemy knows it. But he still wants to supplant in your mind that God does not care. He still wants you to believe that the things you read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament were only valid for those days and for that time. Yet God is still much alive today, as he was when he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and gave life to Eve through one rib of Adam. God's still alive today just as much as he ever has been, because there's no beginning. We know we serve an eternal God who had no beginning and no end. He always has been. Can I explain that? Can you explain it? No, but I believe it, because you think about, none of this could happen. This world could not exist without a perfect designer, without a creator. You don't blow up things and create stuff. But someone who believes that their life has no meaning, they have no reason to live. They have no reason to get up each day. And many believe that life is not worth living. But when you understand that God's given you a life that has meaning and purpose, when you understand that the only reason why you are alive today is because of a living God that gives you a reason to live, that gives you hope, it gives you purpose. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and as we think about just standing upon our conviction that God is alive and he is active in our life, then there must be something he wants me to do, and there is. He wants us to be a representative of his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, everybody's called to be a representative of Christ, to be an ambassador, as Paul uses the word here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Again, we're talking about a purposeful life with convictions, things that you know are true, things that you hold on to, things that even govern your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 18 through 20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Just stopping there at that verse and reminding ourselves it is God that has reconciled us to himself. Those that were against God, those that were the enemies of God, that lived a life contrary to the will of God, yet God, working through reconciliation, working through Jesus Christ, has reconciled us unto himself because of his love, because he wanted us to find the meaning of life and the purpose of life in Jesus Christ. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Again, being that ambassador, being that representative of something you have received, something you know is true, the gift of salvation, eternal life, the reconciliation, being reconciled back to God, a loving God that, you know what, now I'm in the family of God, and I represent the family of God. I represent the one true living God, who is the creator of all things, who's the giver of life, knowing that there's not one single child born into this world without Jesus Christ giving them that life. It's not by accident. It's not by random choice. It's not by evolution. It's by God opening up the womb and God giving life to that womb. And the purpose of every single life born in this world is to come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, will every single person come to know and trust Christ as their Savior? Unfortunately, sadly, no. But that is the number one purpose, is to come to know your Creator, come to know the one that has given you your life and has a purpose and a meaning for the life that you're going to live. And once we come to know Christ as our Savior, understanding that we are His ambassador, we're His representative. Read on, if you would, to wit, that God was in Christ. Well, that right there testifies of just the fact that Jesus is God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. The second conviction I want you to think about that we've got to stand upon is, not only are we serving and we know that God is alive and active in this world in my life, but even being convicted that, you know what, I'm an ambassador, I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. The way I live my life, the way that I speak, the way I interact with people will speak volumes of who I serve, who's in control of my life. Now, when you think about, when you go to the book of Acts and you look there at the beginning of the church, the beginning of people coming to know Christ as their Savior, you find a man by the name of Barnabas, who with his own heart, he was convicted in his heart, he loved the Lord, and he sold some of his property and brought the full price of the property to the church to be distributed throughout the saints who were in need, who didn't have anything, and he wanted to be a blessing to the church, a blessing to God's people, because God had laid that upon his heart. And man, tell you what, man, that is a great representative of Jesus Christ, who loved people, who gave to people what they needed, not wanting anything in return, but because of out of his own heart and love, he gave. But then you got a husband and wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, who saw how Barnabas was treated, how people were thankful and recognized the love and the generosity of Barnabas, and they wanted some of that acclamation. They didn't really care about the church or the people. They wanted to be promoted and wanted people to look at them as some great people. And the Bible says they went and sold their property as well. And they could have done anything they wanted to with it. And yet they said, you know what, we're gonna pretend like that we're gonna bring the entire price of the property that we gained. We're gonna pretend like that we're giving it all to the Lord. But we're gonna keep some back from us. Well, that's someone who's not a good representative of Christ, because they are deceiving the people. They're deceiving the church. They are pretending to do something that is not true. And obviously the Holy Spirit of God judged them for that. You can read the rest of that account in the book of Acts. But again, you've got someone who believes that there's a living God. And because they have a heart for God, they are a good representative of what they believe and stand for. But then you have someone who really doesn't believe that there's a living God, and it proves in the fact they did not fear God. They did not think God would know, because they were trying to deceive the church. Nobody will know, but God knows. And that's why Peter even addresses the husband and wife at two separate moments that they were lying to the Holy Ghost. Because God knows. People may not know the truth, but God knows the truth. And we want to make sure that we are convicted that, you know what, I am, as a child of God, I'm a representative of the family of God. I'm a representative of the throne of Christ. And I want to be that good representative that shows people that I do stand upon the truth that I'm serving a true living God who is alive and active, and that my life represents that true living God. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, because not only are we called to be ambassadors, but to be an ambassador is to be salt. To be an ambassador is to be salt in this world. Because someone may ask, well, how can I be an ambassador? How can I be a representative? And again, a representative or an ambassador, they are representing the one who has sent them. Again, we have ambassadors that are in different countries that are supposed to represent the values of America, are supposed to represent our country in a dignified way, and many, some do, some don't. It's the same with the ambassadors of Christ. Some represent the kingdom of God in the right way, very graciously, very lovingly, very honorably, and some don't. But the question this morning is for us individually, are we living with Bible convictions? Are we living with convictions that God's given us that we are standing upon that I believe will help us to live a life with purpose? Because the purpose is Jesus Christ who's given us our life. But we are called to be ambassadors, to be representatives, and we are called to be salt. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus says, you could be. No, he says, ye are. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Now, how do you lose your savor? How do you lose Oh, what word do I want to use? How do you lose your effect in your testimony? How do you lose your influence with people? I believe by not standing upon the convictions that come through God's word. Not standing upon the truth that you serve a God who's alive, who's active. Because what does salt do? It flavors things. It makes things a lot better. Makes things taste better. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. I mean, our life is to be seasoned to where it causes other people to even want to ask of the hope that lies within us. That our life is such a great representation of the kingdom of God, of the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. It's not about having and living a perfect life that, you know what, no one can look at and point out any flaws, but people can sure see that see that you're, as they said of Peter and the others, ignorant fishermen, but they took notice they've been with Christ. There was something different. Because everybody has their flaws. Everybody has their mistakes in life, just as Paul did, just as Peter did. But what outweighed those past flaws was how good of a representative they were being for Christ, how they were standing upon the truth of God's word as they were living out these convictions that their life was based upon, a risen Savior, the fact that I've been called to be a representative to show the world, to show my family members, to show those around me that, no, God is alive. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a made-up character. He's someone who's very active in this world, and he's active in drawing people to Christ because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he calls you and me to be ambassadors for Christ, and we are to be salt. We are to be something that causes people to want what we have. It gives them a taste of heaven. It gives them a taste of the life that we have walking with Christ. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. One of the best ways to obviously be a great ambassador, a representative of Christ, is to make sure that the things that come out of our mouth obviously do represent Jesus Christ, who's full of love and grace. Are there things that we could complain about? Absolutely. but we probably shouldn't complain about them in front of a lost person. Someone who's already struggling, someone who's already complaining. Again, there's got to be something different in our speech. Our speech has to be seasoned with grace, as he tells us in Colossians 4 and verse 6. Could we chime in with everybody that has a problem with things we have a problem with? Yeah. But should we? No. Because again, if we're trying to be a good representative, I mean, again, you think about an ambassador for the United States of America in a different country. They're in a different country, supposed to be representing the United States of America. Do we have crime in America? Absolutely. We got crime in America? But is that something the ambassador in a different country should be talking about? Hey, our country is so great, but you know, there's crime, there's abortion, there's killing, there's all, no. We should be promoting the values of America, what we have been founded upon. That, you know what, there's freedom in America. You have no freedom in your country, but you come to our country, you have freedom. Are there bad things we could talk about as a Christian, things that we disagree with, things we're not happy? Yeah. But to be a good representative is to talk about Christ and talk about the good things. Again, you're going to hear, if you haven't already heard, someone's going to say, well, if God is such a loving God, why does he allow people to go to hell? God doesn't allow people to go to hell. In fact, Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father because God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for the sins of the world so that people wouldn't have to go to hell. But people choose to go to hell when they reject God's gift of love. That's the response of a good ambassador of Jesus Christ when someone says that God is a hateful God. Oh no, he's a loving God because he paid the price. He has a gift that all you have to do is take it. But many people will reject it. But having grace, having your speech seasoned with grace. I want you to take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Because listen, to be a good ambassador, a good representative of Jesus Christ, is we have to know the Word of God. We have to allow the Word of God to change us, to guide our life. I cannot, you cannot be a good representative of Christ if 90% of my time throughout the week is given over to ungodly things and 10% is only given to godly things. We're not, it doesn't play out. I cannot read my Bible once in a week and expect to be a good representative of Christ. So in order to be a good representative of Christ, our life really has to be saturated with the Word of God. The only reason why, as a Bible in the book of Hebrews, God says of Lot that he was a just man. That doesn't mean he was just the only man. It means he was a just man. But what happened with Lot is he allowed his righteous soul to be vexed by the things he saw and the things he heard. Because when he departed from his uncle Abraham, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's not a big deal. I'm not living in Sodom. I'm not living among the heathen. I'm not doing the things of the world. I'm just, you know, I just got my tent pitched towards it. So, you know, my doorway, when I come out of my tent, it's the first thing I see. A lot of God's people, the first thing they see in the morning when they wake up is Facebook. That's the first thing they grab. They grab their phone, go to their Facebook account, and want to just scroll and look at everything people's posted all night long. That affects you. Because the first thing we should grab in the morning is God's Word. Because you know what? It's a new day. It's another day to be a representative of Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? What truth from your Word can I take with me today that, you know what, that will not only help me, but when someone asks of the hope that lies within me, however they're going to ask it, because no one's really going to come up and say, hey, let me ask you about the hope that lies within you. They're going to say something that the Holy Spirit says, hey, they need to know. And you've got this verse that God gave you, and you share it with them. But again, we can't be good representatives if we're not allowing the one true living God to be in full control of our life and to guide us. But when you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Again, we're supposed to respond with meekness and fear. Again, knowing that, you know what, I'm a representative of Christ, and Lord, you got to help me to respond to this person, because I don't want to say something that's going to cause them not to believe the truth. I don't want to say something where they're like, okay, well, you say that, but yesterday you were screaming and yelling at the boss. You know, we want to make sure that we don't give anybody ammunition to fire back at us. Again, it's not that we can live a perfect sinless life, but let's not give them any ammunition. Let's make sure that how we are responding as the representative of Christ, that that's always in our mind, that, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm representing Christ. And Lord, the only way I can do that is if you help me. Lord, the only way I'm going to keep my mouth shut when I want to open it is if you shut it and keep it shut, Lord. Help me not to say things I shouldn't say, but help me to say things I should say. But he goes on to say, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. Again, we're called to be salt, but we're also called to be light. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I mean, as an ambassador of Christ, we're to be salty and we're to be full of light. Now, obviously, we have the light of Christ in us, but Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. All. Lost or saved, the light is shining through you. People see the difference. People see that you truly do believe that God is alive and that you follow a risen Savior, and your life is based upon that risen Savior every day. It goes on to say, let your light so shine before men. Jesus says, let your light. He doesn't say, let my light. He says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we have the light of Christ in us, and we are to let Christ shine through our life. But listen, we won't let that light shine if we don't believe. If we don't believe that, you know what? God wants me to influence and affect other people. He wants me to be a salty Christian. He wants me to cause people to desire what I have. And how are they going to desire what I have if I don't stand upon some convictions and live a life that truly portrays and represents what I believe? People have to see it. Again, people can say things that are contrary to how they are living. I can say, well, I believe God can do anything for me, but if I never pray, if I never trust, if I never take my cares to the Lord, then what I say doesn't match up to what I believe, because I really don't believe God hears my prayers because I'm not praying and asking him for help. It's the same with how we live our life. God wants us to be the salt. He wants us to be the light. And obviously it's Christ through us, but what shines out of our life, it's truly what's in our hearts. It's truly what we believe. Now, Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. There are those that pretend to be God's people that are not God's people. And eventually, it comes out. Eventually, it comes out. I was in a church service one time and preaching. And I already knew that somebody was not really a child of God. They were not really for the things of God. They were a hindrance to the things of God, a hindrance to the work of God. They were a hindrance to the church. Well, the Bible's so true. By their fruits ye shall know them. And the Bible's true that there are wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. And I promise, my wife being a witness, this person in the middle of the testimony, in the middle of the message, in the middle of the service, started growling and howling. Am I right? It was like, and they weren't like trying to be silly. It was their true nature coming out. Because as the truth of God's word was being preached, they were getting more and more agitated. Yet they came to every church service. Because see, the devil's not bound by the church doors. But what I want us to think about is that we need to live a purposeful life with convictions. The convictions that come through the word of God. The convictions that God gives us through his word that we stand upon. The fact that God wants us to be these salty ambassadors for Christ who have light shining through them as we walk through this dark, sinful world. That we are the representatives that, you know what, we have that conviction that God wants me to be a testimony to somebody, a testimony of a life that's been changed, a life that is being worked upon, a life that truly does believe in God, though I may have my struggles at times, I may have my doubts, yet in the end, I know that God can and will do according to his will. It's being that salty Christian that has the light shining through them, and people see a difference. And as Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Don't be a hidden Christian. Be a Christian that stands out. Will you have somebody that will try to be negative towards you? Yeah. But as they continue to be negative towards you, and as they continue to only get a positive response, guess what? That's going to wear on them. That's going to cause them to start thinking, man, nothing I say detours them from being joyous and happy in the Lord and wanting to continue to tell me about their God, even though I've told them I don't believe in their God and all kinds of things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The only way that you and I can be, any child of God, can be a good representative of Christ, is to come out from among the world. Not allow the world to dictate how we live. Not allow the world to dictate how we think and how we interact with people. Again, this world can cause us not to be good representatives. This world can cause us not to believe the truths of God's word and not to live a life that's full of purpose and meaning because of Jesus Christ. Now, very lastly, I want you to think about this last conviction. Because we do need to have the conviction and stand upon the conviction and believe the conviction that we do serve a risen Savior. God is alive, and that he wants us to be a representative. He wants us to show the world around us that God does love and God does care, and God wants to transform the life into a life that shows the power of God and shows the love of God and the grace of God. But also, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. God wants us to be convicted in believing in the power of God. That the power of God was not just for the Old Testament, not just for the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles, but the power of God is just as much alive today in the lives of people and even in the world. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, just the fact that you and I continuing to stand upon the conviction that there's power in the word of God. It's not a book written by men that did not believe in God or follow God or trust God. But scripture obviously was written by men being used by the Holy Spirit. Men who were following God, trusted the Lord, men that God used to write down his word for us. I mean, think about, before you even read it, listen, there's not a life that cannot be changed by the power of God. Moses being a murderer, and yet his life was transformed by God, and God used him to write scripture. After Moses broke the tablets that God had made out of the mountain, and God had already ascribed on the tablets his word, and Moses comes down and sees the people doing the wickedness they were doing, he threw the tablets down, they broke, and he went back up. God said, okay, now you're going to hew the tablets out of stone. Now you're going to do some work, but you're going to write down my word. What I'm saying is we got to continue to trust in the power. Again, there's a lot of professing Christians that don't believe that this book, God's word, the King James Bible, which I believe is God's word for the English-speaking people, I believe that God's word is powerful. That what God said to Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1, it's relevant for me on this day in 2021. I mean, God's word is powerful, and even tells us in Hebrews chapter 4:12, but if a Christian doesn't believe that they have the word of God and they don't believe that God's word is powerful, then guess what? They don't have a weapon. They don't have any way to defend themselves. How did Jesus defend himself against the devil? I mean, the Son of God, who could have just not said a word, but just had the devil at that moment cast into the lake of fire. He used scripture against him there in the wilderness as the devil came to him, tempting the Son of God, tempting Jesus Christ. If thou be the Son of God, make these stones become bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from this pinnacle, because it's written that God's angels will take charge. I mean, they'll lift you up. I mean, if thou be the Son of God, I mean, then he even says, you know, you bow down and worship me. But all three times that are recorded in Scripture, Jesus used, thus it is written, thus it is written. Scripture. If Jesus believes in the Word, then we must believe in the Word. But someone who doesn't believe in it, they're not going to pick it up and read it. They're not going to meditate. They're not going to think on what God's saying. They're going to think on the lies of the devil, what everyone on social media is saying, what the news is saying, what liars and unbelievers are saying. But if we truly believe that we have the Word of God and the Word of God is powerful, we will build our life upon it. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful God's word is that God's word will convict us of what we're thinking is wrong and what's in our heart that's wrong. That's how powerful God's word is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If we don't believe it, we won't read it. And is profitable for doctrine. God's word, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what you believe. Doctrine is what you build your faith upon. For reproof, for correction, showing us again what's wrong in my life, Lord. I may not see it, but I know your word can point it out. And then to correct me, give me the correction. Show me the way I'm supposed to. Show me the way that I'm supposed to live. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to stand upon the conviction that God's word is powerful, and we trust it for every area of our life, every decision we need to make, knowing that, you know what? I can't even be an ambassador of Christ without the word of God. I can't even be a loving husband, a loving grandfather, a loving wife, mother, father. I cannot do anything without the word of God, because the word of God tells me how I can do these things. The word of God helps me to have faith in the living God, helps me to trust the ways of God. Secondly, we must practice the power of prayer. Look at James chapter 5 very quickly. I know it's close to 12:30. I'll get you out here in a few minutes. But we must practice the power of prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Just giving the example of Elijah praying that there be no rain for 3.5 years because of King Ahab, because of Jezebel leading God's people astray, leading them into wickedness. It was God's judgment upon Ahab and his chastisement upon his people. But as we give the example, as it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah prayed, God answered it. The fact is, if we don't believe in the power of prayer, we won't do it. But what helps us to believe in the power of prayer? Reading God's word and seeing how God moved in the lives of his people, how God answered their prayers, and how God even instructs us as the widow woman that came day after day to the earthly judge wanting revenge. And the earthly judge finally said, you know what? Or the avenger finally said, you know what? If I don't do this, she's going to keep coming to me, bothering me every day. And Jesus gives that illustration of God wants us to believe so much in prayer that we don't stop bothering God through prayer. No matter what it is, that we believe that God has the answer, and if we will cry out to him, God will answer us. Again, Jesus said back in John 14, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Jesus says, believe in prayer. Believe that I can do it. I mean, having the conviction that there is power in prayer, that God truly does answer my prayer. But if I don't believe God answers prayer, then I don't believe there's a true living God. If I don't believe there's a true living God, then I don't believe that God's word is true and that God doesn't care and God's not really active in my life, and I'm left here to defend myself and just to try to decide what's best for me. But yet if I do believe in prayer, because I do believe in a living God, then guess what? That's going to help us in our daily life. That's going to help us not just be good representatives of Christ, but it's going to help us to live a life that truly does show the world that I am following a living God who loves me, died for me, lives within me, who guides my life. He guides my steps. He's got all the answers. And it shows in our countenance because we serve a living God that we follow, and that, man, we can't help to be happy. Even in the midst of the storm, can't help to be happy because I know who's the master of the storm. I know who brought me in the storm. Because you look at those two incidences where the disciples were in those storms. Jesus sent them in that storm. Verse 1, he says, you know, you guys go on ahead. I'll send the crowds away. The second one, I mean, he's in the boat with them. I mean, twice Jesus takes them into a storm. But you know what? Again, if we believe that we do serve a living God, and we believe that he lives within us, his Holy Spirit resides within us, depending upon, the last thing I want to just give you, is that we must depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You being a child of God, a born-again believer, being sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're in the Father's hand. You're sealed by his Spirit. Listen, in order to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to believe and be convicted that he is active in your life, that The Holy Spirit has a ministry in your life. We're told in Galatians that his ministry is to cultivate his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, the long-suffering, all of that, that he's wanting to be active in your life, that he's wanting to help build your faith and transform you and me more to the image of Christ so that we are a better ambassador for Christ, so the world does see Christ in us and our light can shine forth as we faithfully follow the Lord, faithfully speak for the Lord, and as people glorify God because of what God's doing. Being that salt and being that light in this dark, sinful world. Listen, many have been lied to, many have believed the lies, and many have even stopped believing that God even cares. Don't be that child of God that thinks your Heavenly Father doesn't love you. I remember being a kid one time and thinking my parents didn't love me, thinking my parents didn't care because they weren't giving me what I wanted. I wasn't getting my way. But they did because they always provided. They provided a roof over my head. They provided food. They provided clothing. I mean, you know, they provided what I needed. But the enemy always wants us to think we're on the losing side. Always wants us to think that our life isn't worth anything. And again, you may not be struggling with this. You may be firm in these convictions. But the devil still is going to try to tear those convictions down in any way that he can. There may be someone who is struggling with those convictions, struggling that God even cares, struggling that, you know what, God's even active and even, you know, wants to do anything in their life. Yet as we get into the Word of God, we see that God does care, that God is alive, and that God has a purpose, and there are convictions that we need to have through God's Word that we stand upon so that we will live a life that shows the world that there is a true living God, because at least they're seeing my life being changed and being guided by God, and I'm growing closer to the Lord because I know that he cares. I know that he is a part of my life and that he's doing something in my life, and it will help you to truly know that there's a purpose in your life that God is using. Go ahead and stand if you would.